Anything going on? Huh?
Wow.
Anything going on?
Wow.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What a moment. What a moment.
I think, I've been thinking about this all day.
Yep.
I think that's the second greatest home run in LA Dodgers history. Now, in order for that to stick, they've got to keep winning.
Agreed.
But if they do, it falls right behind Kirk Gibson, don't you think?
Completely agree. In fact, I wrote that down here on our little prep sheet. I'm like, where does that rank in history in terms of Dodgers playoff? I thought of Max Muncy's walk-off in the 16th inning. That was a great one.
Yeah, but they lost that year.
Nothing matches this. This was
Mace,
on the brink of going down 0-3.
They were dead.
Yep.
One Greg Bergman suggested that you leave the game and hell, that
no,
was you,
no,
Jorge?
That, don't, no, no, yeah, that was Jorge. That was Jorge.
Okay. Jorge suggested
you're under the bus, not me.
You leave the game so you could get to the Laker game on time.
Because he can't find his car.
And to your credit, you said, I only leave like Laker games early. I don't leave Dodger games early.
Yeah, you
like,
don't you, leave a playoff game early.
But some people did. You know, there were people. And they looked, Mace, let's face it, all four of us thought. We were already, and this is how out of it you've been lately.
Yeah.
You are losing brain cells.
Yes, I am.
So
what brain cells did I lose for?
You send a group text, and I know the two of you got it. I know Greg and Jorge got it. You send a group text, 9 outs left. You've been arguing for a month.
Mm-hmm.
That 54 outs are in a game. So as a
sure.
joke, I write back, don't you mean 18 outs? And you didn't even get it. It went right over your head.
No, we had,
you wrote
look,
back, I mean, no, nine Dodgers only have 9 outs. That's been our argument for a month, that your dumb 54-out thing makes
Dave,
no sense, and you
Dave
proved
Roberts,
it.
Dave Roberts, the pitching staff needs to get 27 outs. The Dodgers had 9 outs left at the plate.
It was
exactly what I said.
No,
it was
according to you, you've been arguing for a month that there would be – that would mean 18 outs because they have to get the outs for the other team.
Yeah.
You went against your own thing. It's the same thing with McVay. When you didn't understand the chunky soup
didn't
thing, even though it's
soup.
Been on Sunday Night Football every week for
By the
8
way,
weeks.
McVay's going to join us at 1:30, so make sure you're here for
can
that.
Can you bring that up today with him, John? Tell him, like, you've seen the commercial. You
Not
knew
only
what
have
going
I seen
on.
It, I bought chunky soup because of him. Yeah,
perfect.
And I got a good wheel of questions that's centered kind of around McVay. So.
If it comes up, of course.
So I wanted to point out one text that you didn't mention. In the 6th inning, Dave could have pinch hit for Cody in a lefty-lefty matchup against AJ Minter. Albert Pujols had not been used. And I texted this. Glad he's sticking with Bellinger.
Oh, God.
Not the
Thank
best
God.
Matchup, but I like Cody's experience.
I am so happy for Bellinger. I mean, the guy has been through hell and back. There's been all this conversation about what do? You trade him? You don't pay him long term now? I mean, no MVP rookie of the year has ever – there have been rookies of the year who have fallen off a cliff, like
sure.
you know Joe Charbonneau and you know Mark Fidrich and those dudes. But no one's ever won rookie of the year, MVP, and then less than 3 years later hit 150. And,
yep.
and he's – Mace, he's now come through in – The Cardinal game, the one gamer,
yep,
he came through
NLDS.
In the Giants series.
Yep.
And now he saved them. This game, think about this game today. I don't even think I would have watched it had Cody not hit that home run. I'm not gonna go to a funeral today. The Dodgers have had a great season. Now I actually think the Dodgers should be favored today.
Now Bellinger, to your point, and I find this just staggering. Batted 165 this year with a 240 on base percentage and a 302 slugging percentage. That's how bad he. And by the way, on this show, well, in fairness, we savaged Cody Bellinger. We were like, "You cannot play Bellinger. I don't care if it's center. I don't care if it's first base." He truly was the worst everyday position player in Major League Baseball. And look what has happened.
He saved them. And, you know, now they've got to go on and win it. But he has made this a series again by himself. I mean, you were texting throughout the game. The Dodgers just weren't hitting.
No.
Gavin Lux had the screw up in center field, which was really embarrassing for him. And then they took him out for a pinch hitter, so he never got a chance to kind of redeem himself.
And by the way, Corey Seager in that same inning, another play where it should have been an out.
Oh, they had us.
That ball
the Braves were beating the crap out of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And it was even the mood. I mean, you at one point correctly texted, who is this pitcher they're bringing in? Have they decided to start playing for tomorrow?
Yeah,
and you mentioned this dude. I didn't even know that guy was on the postseason roster.
Yeah. Didn't you think, Bergman, when they brought in Evan Phillips, it must be like waving the white flag, let's play for tomorrow?
It did, and he ended up like striking out a couple, and he wasn't
good.
Great.
All
he
those
was
dudes, Bickford, yeah. And I mean, all of them. It's one of the great Dodger playoff wins in history, but it only matters if they come back now and go to the World Series, which I really hope they do. Really rooting for Urias today. But Mace, I cannot think, other than the Gibson game.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot think of a game I would have rather been at. I'm so jealous you got to go.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous you got to go that I'm not even going to give you too much crap about showing up at the Laker game, staying for a quarter and leaving.
I was just making a point.
Yeah, I mean, literally, it was like I'm here to, you know, like check a box and I'm out of here. And by the way, when you were there,
and left at halftime.
When you were there, the Lakers, it was really exciting. The Lakers were playing great. I don't know why they were up at half. I'm like,
yeah.
What? And then I looked and I saw Bergman sitting next to me. I go, where's Mason?
I was gassed, man.
Gone.
I was so gassed.
I don't even blame
you.
It was so emotional. I can't imagine how loud that must have been.
Here's the thing about it. So, first of all, what's weird is the game was not fully sold out because it was a 2 o'clock game. I think they had like 51,000. It was pretty full. But there were fans like streaming out of the place, particularly after the sixth inning. After the seventh, guys were like, Yeah, not going to happen. And I will confess that I changed sections. I thought I was in an unlucky section.
So I like it. Change it up.
I moved from field box 6 to field box 41. I thought, I've got to change the luck somehow. I've got to try something different. The helmet nachos are not enough. I think that move was everything. And I've already got a seat in field box 41 for tonight's game, Urias versus the Braves.
So I thought, I'm in studio today. I thought you'd be here and do the same drill.
Unfortunately, did not get cleared. Did not get cleared.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I keep forgetting
where to
come for it.
But man, I'm telling you, this is going to be, and you get to say, I was sitting in field box 41. This is going to be one of those moments in Dodger history. Now, Jorge and Greg, you guys were probably too young to remember where you were for the Gibson homer.
I wasn't living in Los Angeles.
Where were you, Greg?
I was 5 years old. I was sitting on my couch with my brother. My parents were out to dinner, and I remember sitting with him watching it and getting excited.
I had the weirdest experience with that thing. I was working in Beaumont, Texas, but I was a big Dodger fan, and some like drunken idiot, this guy named Rex, is in the bar. I was at a Bennigan's. Remember those places?
Yeah, sure.
And he's in the bar, and he goes, "Oh, bet anybody in here, Eckersley wins this game." Because Eckersley was, like, unbelievable. And I was, like, the one Dodger fan. I go, "Yeah, I'll bet you, but you got to give me odds." So he said, $5, and I'll give you 20 if the Dodgers win. So Gibson hits the homer.
Yep.
Rex is gone. Nowhere to be found. Never paid. But this was so funny. A week later, I back in there because there were like two bars in the whole thing.
There's Rex.
And no. The bartender's got this smirk on his face. And I go, "What?" He goes, "I got $25 for you." I go, "Wait." I go, "That guy Rex came back. He felt bad."
Wow.
I never saw him again, but I got the $25. But Mace, where were you for the Gibson homer?
The Gibson homer, I was laying on my floor. I was sharing an apartment with both of my brothers. I lived in Maumee, Ohio at that point.
I'm telling you, this is this generation's, especially if they go on and win it.
Yep.
Everybody's going to remember where they were. And I was right next to Lawrence Tanner, the voice of God. I said to him, I go,
"Laker girl."
Right. I said, "Bellinger hits this out, and it's a whole new game." And boom, it goes out. And he looks at me like, "Wow. How'd you know?"
Good call.
Then I texted Bergman. I said, "Hey, what do we do if the if the Laker game starts and the Dodgers are still playing, what are we doing? Bergman says, we already switched to the Lakers.
Yeah, already and switched. Yeah.
He goes, so if it's still going, you can promote that it's going to wherever.
KRDC.
Yeah, KRDC.
And missed out, by the way, just a brilliant Kenley Jansen appearance.
Well,
struck out the side
so,
like
but
a monster.
Bergman, give me a little credit here.
I
texted to you right then when you said, if you go on the air and the Dodger game's still going, promote that we're airing the Dodger game at KRDC. And I wrote back to Bergman, not necessary. Taylor's going to score.
And he did. Right then, I was like, he'd be better.
Your texts were ahead of the video feed, so all I got from you was in all capital letters, Mookie. And I right when I thought that, I go, oh, something happened. And
yep.
then boom,
boom.
And it was so
Mookie.
So
boy, coming into that, okay. You know, coming into
oh,
that
somebody
moment.
Just made a good point. Hovick, what about Chris Taylor's homer in the wild card game?
Yeah, big.
I
really
thought
big.
I just for whatever reason, I thought the Dodgers were always going to win that game against the Cardinals. I never, after Gavin Lux dropped the ball and Walker Buehler got chased, didn't that just, you were there, Mace, didn't that
yep.
just feel like a loss?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it absolutely did. It absolutely did.
And I can't get over Bellinger's turnaround. I mean, and you, like you said, you got to credit Dave Roberts for leaving him in. And I think that's the one reason they left him in is because if he gets hot,
yep.
he can deliver a knockout punch.
And I think we're seeing this now. The Dodgers have got a really, really powerful winning culture. And if you've been a part of it, you know how to perform at that level. Look at Chris Taylor and that big home run. Chris Taylor was scuffling through the entire end of the season. It becomes the playoffs. Chris Taylor turns into Chris Taylor. Bellinger, worst position player maybe in Major League Baseball this year. Clock strikes playoffs. He becomes clutch. Look at Kike. Look at Jock Peterson and his pearls. I mean, every Dodger knows how to perform at this level, especially the guys that have been here for this entire run.
Beto Duran just texted, Magic Mace, good luck charm.
Yeah, I got a shout out from Beto.
All right, so
hey, I gotta,
listen,
wait, I got a
obviously,
question.
Let me get this in. I'll get to your question. Obviously, we're going to let you react to this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We'll get to the Lakers as well.
Yep.
But this Dodger game completely changes tonight. Like, I thought tonight I would be watching Real Housewives so I didn't have to watch the funeral of the Dodgers getting swept. Now, I think the Dodgers should be favored to win the series. I just think and I had a feeling when Bellinger hit the homer, that the Braves were going to collapse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was so disheartening.
Yeah,
they had it.
It has
the
to
The Braves
be.
Had it.
By the way, Pepe Mantilla, the great Pepe Mantilla, just texted me and said, I was watching the game with John over in the Lakers press box. He predicted yesterday's
Pepe was to my right and Lawrence Tanner was to my left. And I went, God, Bellinger can hit a homer and tie this thing up.
Bam!
Boom! So fun.
Yeah.
So happy for him.
And by the way, that building, it was like there was an earthquake. I mean, it shook
the entire building. It's one of the great home runs in Dodger history, particularly L.A. Dodger history. For me, I can't think of a bigger one other than the Gibson homer. I think it's number two, but probably only if they go on to win it.
If they win the series.
If they don't go on to win it, it becomes Derek Fisher's 0.4 shot.
Right.
Which came in a year where the Lakers
lost to San Antonio.
No, they beat San Antonio
lost
to Detroit in the finals.
Right, right.
All right, so we'll take your phone calls. We're expecting Sean McVay to join us today. The Rams are playing the Lions this weekend. Mason, because he's being Pollyanna, thinks Jared Goff will not get booed.
Not getting booed.
He's getting
not
booed.
Not getting booed.
Yeah, he's getting booed. Fans would boo their own mother. I mean,
you're
not
going to
boo him. Oh, please.
Oh, real quick. I want to get this in before we go to break. So we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets for SoFi Stadium on Sunday to see the Rams fans not boo Jared Goff. Rams versus the Detroit Lions. It's John Ireland's lie of
yes, the day. Yes, it is. You got to be listening very carefully from start to finish.
And we'll do that at 3:30
today. You want Ram tickets.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mason Ireland, gigantic Wednesday on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
By the way, best suggestion I saw for our award show that we're going to be doing, I like this a lot, the tennies. The tennies.
The one I like better?
Yeah.
The BSBs.
The BSBs is great.
Yeah, that was from a listener.
I like the seven tendies. That's a great call. Do you see that one, the seven tendies?
Yeah, but that's not as good as the BSBs.
I mean, the BSBs is really good.
Yeah, no, the BSBs is going to be tough to beat. I love that.
But then that's also saying bad things about our ward. I don't like that.
No, but we are all full of crap.
I mean, yes,
we are full of crap.
I would be honored to win a BSB.
This is all BS.
Regardless of the name, vote for Jorge.
I'm so impressed with this campaign of yours that I will be voting for you.
I'm voting for him.
Yeah, that was a brilliant campaign, and it brings back one of the great bits in movie history. I can throw this football over that mountain.
All right.
It's a classic.
Highly underrated movie.
Oh,
all right,
very funny.
Every line jammed. Let's start with Martin in Thousand Oaks on line 4. Hey, Martin, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure,
but I just want to say how electric that game was in right field. I was in the right field pavilion.
Nice.
And it was just such electric out
there. Hey, Martin, like, did you know when Bellinger hit it that it was coming to you?
Yeah, the sound of that bat or the ball, just you could hear it, and everyone in right field was already standing up, and they just went bonkers.
One of the great shots is when that ball lands, people in that right field pavilion where you were, Martin, are just, I mean, they're jumping up and down like they just want a car on The Price is Right.
Right.
They just absolutely ballistic. And I can only imagine what it must have been like for the person that caught that ball.
Oh, can you imagine?
If it was me, I would give it to Bellinger.
Yeah, me too. I would give it to Bellinger. Yeah, I'll tell you, the thing about that home run is, and I went back and I watched it afterwards. You can't tell this when you're actually at the game. But he looked really bad on that slider. The count was 1-2.
That one was right down the middle. The one he hit was like 10 inches high.
Right. He was like trying to get him to chase the ladder, climb the ladder, and Bellinger got to it. I mean, Bellinger got to it. It was out of the strike zone, and he found a way to catch up to it and knock it out of the park. It was just – it's an incredible at-bat, and it's an incredible – incredible moment in Dodger history.
Hey, Martin, incredible were moment. You just by chance this was the game you oh he's gone. I wonder if he's been going every game or if he just went to that one. Here's David on line 1 on the 14 freeway. He says we're forgetting about some other home runs.
Okay.
Hey David, you're on 710 ESPN.
Guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I got two other ones that are probably above this one and not as great as the Gibby one, but what about Justin Turner's walk off on Kirk Gibby on the anniversary? And also Charlie Culberson's walk-off home run on the last Vin Scully game.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember the Turner homer. I remember the Culberson homer because it was so cool for Vin.
Yeah, the Culberson homer was great. I was at that game. It was Vin's last game, and it was a special moment. I just don't think – and not to say it wasn't, like, fantastic and it wasn't emotional and all that stuff with Vin in his final game. But in terms of leverage, this was just such a higher leverage home run.
And remember this, David. The people are judged at the professional level by how they play in the postseason. That's why Reggie Jackson is Mr. October. That's why Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, even though he threw more interceptions than touchdowns. It's why Derek Jeter was a absolute lock Hall of Famer because he always showed up in the World Series. Bellinger had, by all statistical measure, the worst regular season an MVP has ever had.
Yes.
I mean, he was beyond bad. And the fact that the Dodgers stuck with him, and then he does this, is one of the great LA Dodgers sports stories of all time. By the way, can I play this thing, Julio? If I play this Bellinger home run, will it play? This is Boog's call.
Who's Julio?
Or did I call you Julio again? Because Urias
again,
is pitching.
We're waiting for Julio tonight.
Yeah. ahead, can play I play it or can right. I haven't heard Boog call this. So I want to hear what this sounds like.
1-2. Jackson at the belt. Check Smith at second. The pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep right field. That one back. And we are tied. Cody Bellinger dancing around the bases. And this place is going crazy.
By the way, I listen. I've always got an earpiece in, and I'm listening to the ESPN broadcast, which is fantastic. It is Boog Sciambi, and Jess Mendoza is doing the color on that game, and they are great together. They're great together. By the way, you know, going into that, this is just crazy. Oh, wait a minute. Do we have the Jaime Herrin call?
See.
Okay, let's play the Jaime Herrin call.
Mr. Jackson. Lanzamiento viene, batazo profundo al jardín derecho. La pelota se va, se va, se va y despídela con un beso. Ocurrió lo que dije que podría ocurrir. Que podría empatarse el juego. Cuadrangular de tres carreras de Corey Bellinger. Su primero en esta postemporada. Se lleva de paso a dos compañeros y el juego está 5-5. Se salva de una derrota el abridor de los Dodgers.
So what does se va mean?
Se va, se va, se va. It's going, it's going, it's okay. Going. Kiss it goodbye. That's
yeah.
What it
said. That, yeah, yeah. The great.
I still can't believe he hit it. I mean,
No, it's totally stunning.
And because of how lopsided the game looked.
Yep.
It just...
Oh, they were dead. In fact, John, this number is just staggering to me. Until that home run, the Dodgers were 13-71 in the postseason with runners in scoring position.
Including Mace, leaving the bases loaded in the first inning. After Seager hit a two-run homer, they load the bases with one out, and they can't get any more runs in. And that allowed Charlie Morton to stay in the game for another... Had they gotten a hit there... Charlie Morton would have been chased.
Gone. Yeah.
And so it just looked like Atlanta's day. And then, wow, Bellinger did that. Here's Betts, by the way, who then, after that, so Bellinger clears the bases. We're tied at 5. Taylor gets on, and Mookie delivers.
Chavez
Mookie
fires.
Delivers.
Swing and a line drive out towards right center, and it's going to touchdown for a hit. In to score is Taylor. Betts to second, he slides in, and it's an RBI double for Mookie Betts. The Dodgers lead it 6-5.
It just feels so improbable. When we were there, I guess I'm sort of quoting Vin Scully. It did feel improbable. The Dodgers felt dead. There was no energy in the stadium until we got a couple of runners on. There was a little sneaky... upbeat moment when Will Smith had that hit. And all of a sudden, when Will Smith had that hit, I think the crowd woke up a little bit and thought, this is our chance. This is our chance. And then A.J. Pollock was the single. And the moment you get the tying run at home plate, I mean, anything can happen. I felt like Bellinger was in the right spot at exactly the right time. That's why I texted it earlier in the game. I want the guys that have been there. I want the guys with experience. I want the guys who know how to play at this altitude. And Bellinger just came up absolutely huge.
And by the way, Ryan Darling said on the broadcast, when that guy made it to first, he goes, you know, in baseball, they say a bloop and a bomb and you're right back in it. He said, and then sure enough, it happened. Let's squeeze... Chris in here in L.A. on line 6. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. You know, I was just so great to see that home run because it just took Gavin Lux, in my opinion, off the hook. Because watching him just look so sad in the dugout just hurt me. And, you know, he was out there playing a position he doesn't usually play, trying to help out the team. So that was great to see. And one other thing, my wife and I were watching the game, and we were FaceTiming a friend of ours who had moved out of town. And I had rewound the DVR back to look at something. So we hear my friend say, oh, my God, he hit a home run. And we looked up, we're like, what is he talking about? And then we get the home run. So it was one of those anticlimactic home runs that will be, you know, one of the home runs that will be remembered forever in Dodger lore, but it was still fun to be there to see it actually happen. So it was a great game.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much for the phone call. I'll tell you what, coming up next, we'll get to the Lakers. We'll do more Dodgers. I mean, it's a really special day in the history of L.A. sports. Coming up next for you, Sean McVay is going to join us. The Rams are 5-1. They got the Lions coming to town this week. I have seen the Chunky Soup commercial now, so I do get his joke from last week. But we'll spin the wheel of questions and then
I think Mason we just lost him.
He kicked out the plug.
That's exactly what happened. Mason kicked out the plug on his magic radio machine again. And now, by the way, he'll yell at Juan because he'll say, this thing just crapped out. And Juan will go plug it in and he'll be back.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be back with Sean McVay next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland. Mason's still trying to figure out what he kicked out of the wall and get his magic radio machine to work. But we're taking your phone calls. We're talking about that incredible Dodger game yesterday. And then the Lakers, I'll give you a quick thought on the Lakers. Don't panic. I always thought that the Lakers, especially after watching them in the preseason, were going to take time to figure out their defense. And that's exactly what happened last night. You're going to hear people all day talk about, well, you know, the Russell Westbrook played terrible. You know, this is all about the defense. Frank Vogel said it after the game. They're not playing on a string. They gave up 68 points in the second half. Offensively, LeBron and AD were brilliant. Russ didn't have a very good game. None of it matters. Oh, good. We got you back.
Yeah, I'm back.
It's Mace. It's all about figuring out how to defend collectively. And if and when that happens, they're going to be fine. But I think they're going to start. I think there's a decent chance they start 3-3. I think they've got some I don't know how it'll shake out. But
the next two games are tough, and then the next three games are much easier.
Right. So they'll probably win one of the tough games and lose one of the easy ones, you know, because two of those three are on the road. But I think that, you know, LeBron, when he got with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, went 9-8 in Miami. I could see something like that. Traditionally, when LeBron got Kevin Love and Kyrie, they didn't start quick out of the gate. LeBron, by the way, was unbelievable.
Oh, he was spectacular.
And he made his first six shots.
And AD was fantastic, too.
Yeah, and Russ is going to be the hard, and Frank Vogel talked about this after the game. He's going to have the biggest adjustment. He's used to having everything go through him, and now it's going through two other guys.
Yeah, his touch time is going to be way down. He's got to figure out how to deal with it. Hey, let's spin the wheel of questions, and we'll circle back to that. Presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Jorge, let's give her a spin.
Ooh, okay. So this has to do with music.
Okay.
Now, I know for a fact that Sean McVay is a big fan of all of the acts that have been hired to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show at SoFi in February.
Oh, I didn't even know what they are.
Okay. So here, I'm going to give you who they are, but here's the question. Let's say I can get you two front row tickets for the next concert of all of these people, but you can only pick one. So on Super Bowl Sunday, you're going to get them all.
Right.
But now I'm going to give you the VIP treatment, but you can only pick One. All right, here's
okay.
the list. Dr. Dre,
okay.
Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg. Jorge, that's the list. You get front row seats, but you don't get the other one. Who are you taking? Dre, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, or Snoop?
I want to go with Dre. I want to hear the Chronic 2001. I want to hear Dre. I want to see Dre.
Greg, how about you?
Yeah, I'm with Jorge. I'm going to go see Dre. He doesn't go to concert much.
I'm a giant Eminem guy, just basically because I
love that one song.
Well,
that you work out to it all the time.
Yeah, that it's the first song on my workout tape. But
yep.
but Kendrick Lamar live, I've actually seen. I saw him play. It was a private party, but I saw him play like five songs. He's really, really talented. And Mary J. Blige has like a voice.
Queen of hip hop.
Yeah, a voice. And Snoop, you would get all his whole catalog. Mace, if you had to pick one of those guys, who would you pick?
I would pick Kendrick Lamar because he's L.A. and we going to be
all right.
Well,
so are Snoop and Dre.
We going to be all right.
And by the way, Dre might be the pick just because you get his whole back history. Like, for example, you get the N.W.A. songs.
Yeah,
you get
yeah.
everything he's ever produced and mixed. But for the Super Bowl halftime show, all five of those people are going to be on stage at one time or another together. Jay-Z hired him. It is being, you know, basically put together by Jay-Z. But those are the five. Dr. Dre, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, and Snoop Dogg, all at the Super Bowl halftime show. And how great would that be, Mace, if the Rams are in it?
Oh,
you know,
I'm going to be there no matter what.
You're going if the Rams even aren't in it? If the Rams aren't in it, I don't care.
Might sell them.
Yeah,
sell them.
That's what I would do.
You get a lot of money for Super Bowl tickets.
Right. You could pay for most of the other games.
Okay, real quick, Bergman, the Dodgers lineup is, by the way, Huascar Noah is going to be the starter for the Braves tonight. He's a right-hander, and they'll probably try to get a couple of innings from him. He's a guy who actually earlier in the year punched a wall, broke his hand, was gone for a long time, came back in August. He's got about a 4 ERA, 4.2 ERA, but they'll probably try to get a couple of innings out of him tonight. And by the way, even though they're facing a left-hander in Julio Urias, they still have Eddie Rosario in the lineup, and they still have Jock Peterson batting seventh. So they're still running a couple, and obviously Freeman. So they got lefties in their lineup versus Julio tonight.
By the way, this is how bad your take is on Jared Goff. Jock Peterson got booed last night. You know, why would you boo Jock Peterson? He was great when he was here. I mean, the fans boo if you get out of our uniform.
I think it's the pearls.
What's wrong with the pearls?
Can I ask something about the pearls? Do you think he wears the pearls like just regularly or just for the games?
Because you think he wears them all the time?
Because like Mookie wears a chain, and I'm assuming he wears them that chain all the time. So do you think that Jock wears the pearls all the time? Like he goes out to dinner, and he's just wearing the pearls.
I'm sure he thinks they're lucky. I mean, he's like everybody else. Baseball players are superstitious. I'm sure he thinks they're my lucky pearls.
Right, so he's just walking around the street,
man,
walking downtown L.A.
If I was hitting like him, I would sleep in those friggin' pearls.
Absolutely. Now, Greg, you say the Dodgers lineup is out.
Yeah, the Dodgers lineup is out, and it is exactly the same as yesterday. They did not change a thing. Betts, so, Seager, Turner, Smith, Turner, Lux, Bellinger, Taylor, Urias.
Well, I'm glad Lux is back in there. Because
is Lux in center?
Lux is in center.
Oh,
yes.
Now that is something we should talk about.
Oh.
Now that you've been burned by that, why go back to it?
Yeah, I don't.
Isn't Trey Turner a better defensive center fielder than Gavin Lux? Why not just switch him?
Cody Bellinger is a better.
But he has to play first. Lux and Trey Turner
can't
play first.
Right, I guess they got nobody to put it first right now.
Yeah, Trey's in the infield. He's going to be in the infield.
But in Washington, he played in the outfield.
Like
he did
2016,
play
and like, yeah, it was a long time ago.
But again, who's better defensively, Trey Turner or Gavin Lux?
Oh, I'm sure Trey is better defensively, but you still want his defense at second base, too. And you just feel a little bit better about Trey in the infield. So your infield of Seager and Turner double play is strong.
So Urias is going to start for the Dodgers?
Yep.
And how much, realistically, do we expect to get out of him?
Well, a little bit of concern because he pitched in game two.
Right.
He didn't throw a lot, and he didn't throw well, but he did pitch in game two. He came into that eighth inning in game two. I think we can get five out of Julio.
So Dave Roberts was asked about that last night, and he said that it was they're going to let him go. They're going to let him, as long as he's pitching well and he has control, they're going to let him go. Hmm. So don't expect. And they also have a bullpen game tomorrow, so you can't push on their bullpen too much.
Yeah,
especially
you,
since
need,
you have to use
you
a bunch
need to
last
get some
night.
Innings out of him. Yeah, you need to get some innings out of him.
They had nine pitchers last night.
Yeah, the bullpen is working so hard right now. But we didn't use Blake Treinen. We didn't use Joe Kelly. We didn't use some of the high leverage guys. We didn't use Brewster Gratterall in that game last night. So we have saved some of our premium arms that will be very fresh for tonight. And can we just give it up for Kenley Jansen? My
yeah,
God.
Struck out the side. So joining us right now, as he always does every Wednesday, is the head coach of the 5-1 Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay. Coach, I know you are knee-deep in Detroit Lions film. Did you by chance see any of that Dodger comeback yesterday?
No, I heard about it, was fired up to hear, and kind of was following from afar and always pulling for those guys. We'll see if we can keep that momentum rolling.
Yeah, yeah. It was spectacular. Okay, so, Coach, we always give you our wheel of questions, and I know I've heard you talk about this, so I know you're fans of all of these people. Here's the question. Let's say you know who's playing at Super Bowl halftime this year. It's all acts that you like. Let's say I can get you two front row tickets for the next concert to any one of those people. So you and your fiance are right in the front row, great seats, but you can only pick one. Dr. Dre, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg. Who are you going with?
You know what? I'm getting greedy. All of them. Not answering just one.
Yeah, because I've heard you talk about this. You're kind of a fan of that genre, right? You like all those guys.
Of course. Yeah. I think, the guys that I'm saying off my head would be Dre and Snoop because I've seen them at our games this year.
That's right.
Good answer.
Snoop.
Good answer. All right.
By the way, I really apologize. I didn't get the chunky soup joke.
Hey, Sean, by the way, I wish.
Man, that was a bad attempt last week.
No. That's all on Mason.
That's all on me.
That's all. Sean, had I been here, I would have told you that I was feeling lousy about 2 weeks ago, and I didn't want to eat. And because of you, I bought chunky soup. I go, what could I eat? Well, soup's pretty good. So it worked on half of Mason in Ireland. Just know that.
Hey, 16 grams of protein.
Amen. Amen.
So,
Coach, one of the issues is I was in a survivor pool last year, and the game that knocked me out was when you guys
don't bring it up.
You guys lost to the Jets. But here's the thing. This game this week, Detroit is winless, but I've seen three of their games. They're not terrible. Anybody who says they're terrible hasn't watched their games. They've been really close. They should have beat the Vikings. Some guy made a 54-yarder at the back. So how do you get your team focused on a Lions team that's winless? They know they're 0-6, but they could beat you. So how do you address your team to get them to take the Lions seriously?
Yeah, the tape is where the truth is, and you just mentioned it. I mean, you're looking at a really good team in Minnesota. They should have, they really had as good of a chance, if not better, to beat the Baltimore Ravens, who are playing as good a ball as anybody. So the film is where the truth lies. I know they haven't exactly gotten all the results that they want, but there's a lot of good players. There's good sound schemes. These coaches do an excellent job of having those guys ready to go each week. And so make no mistake about it. Our guys will be ready to go. We're not taking anybody lightly because we know what a good competitive football team this is coming in here. We have tremendous respect for them, and then we know some of their key players, how good they can be because they did a lot of really great things with us.
You know, I know you talked a little bit about this, but I want to get into it. Jared Goff is returning to Los Angeles to play against you now. He was the franchise quarterback for a stretch there, got us to the Super Bowl. Is there anything in the way he went out? Is there anything you would do differently as you think about the way he went through that whole trade process?
Yeah, I think, the biggest thing is just the uncertainty and the unexpected way that things came together quickly. You know, I think I've made mention of it, just being able to have better communication, you're out of the country, all those kind of things, but never truly anticipated how quickly it would come together. It was definitely the first experience of one of those kinds for me. And so like anything else, you always try to learn from it. Make sure you connect. And, he and I had a really great conversation before he left and sat down for a long period of time. And think like anything else, the further that you get away from it, the more you can really appreciate and look back on the amazing memories that we shared together for 4 years, There was a lot of good times, a lot of really good times, and I think that'll be something that, as you look back on it, we'll be able to cherish, you know, for the rest of our coaching and playing careers.
Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, is joining us. Coach, I thought your offense really clicked against the Giants. I know the Giants had some injuries, but your offense looked really solid. I didn't see a weakness in that performance, but I know you look at the tape and you've preached to us. You can always find something that you can improve on and get better. Did the offense do anything you didn't like in that win over the Giants?
Yeah, I think just some of the early third down conversions, being able to kind of just, you know, score on some of those opening drives. I thought the defense did such a great job of giving the offense some short fields. You know, to have that 28-point second quarter was really a huge reflection of good team football. We got a couple turnovers on short fields, had a good two-minute drive towards the end of the half, and then our first scoring drive was a long one. But I thought they did a great job. I want to just see us, you know, play a little bit better on some of those third downs. I thought the red zone was a positive thing that guys came away with. We had a couple big fourth down conversions. But overall, we'll take the win. There's always things that we can improve upon. But I thought it was a great reflection of team ball, being able to get a handful of turnovers and have 21 points result as a, you know, from those turnovers.
You know, Matthew Stafford has had a lot of solid protection this year, and he's had a couple of sacks, but for the most part, he's been able to stay on his feet. You've reworked that offensive line with David Edwards and Brian Allen and Austin Corbett in there now, along with the veterans Havenstein and Whitworth. Talk about the job that the offensive line has done in protecting Matthew Stafford and in their run blocking.
Yeah, they've been outstanding. I think they've played really well as a whole. I think there's great continuity. I think Kevin Carberry, our offensive line coach, has done a great job leading the way. And then you mentioned it. You know, when you've got veteran presence like Whitworth, Havenstein's really kind of continuing to really become a big part of our leadership group and really playing at a high level. And then those three guys on the interior are just getting better and better each week. I think Matthew's rapport with those guys is definitely on display week in and week out, and want to see it continue week 7 against the Lions.
Coach, you lost two pretty good role players to injuries this week. I think that's probably one of the worst parts of your job, because football teams get key injuries every year. But Johnny Munt, one of your tight ends, and Jake Funk, one of your running backs, mm-hmm. both out for the season. How significant are those losses in the big picture?
Yeah, it's big. You know, Johnny has done such a great job as our second tight end, being able to spell Tyler Higbee, being a key foundational part of our special teams operation. And so it's a big loss. Jake Funk is a young player that's only getting better, and both those guys will be missed. Those are the types of guys that will attack their rehab the right way. They'll come back stronger. But you said it. It's the worst part of the job. You know, you hate to see the amount of work that goes in, and then when it's taken away from guys, it breaks your heart. But love both those players, and I know that they'll attack the rehab the right way.
Let me ask you about punt returns. Sometimes it's Tutu Atwell. Sometimes it's Cooper Kupp. Tutu Atwell is obviously a guy you drafted high in the draft this past year. What decides which guy is going to be receiving the punt and returning the punt?
Yeah, basically, if it's in some of those situations where we're more interested in just fielding the punt and not necessarily trying to return it because of how sure-handed Cooper is, last week, the one that he did return was kind of a rare circumstance. It was a fourth down and one, so we wanted to have our punt safe operation out there in case they did fake it. We didn't really have a return set, but Cooper's such an instinctual player. He felt how much grass he had, and he decided not to fair catch it. But typically when you see Kupp back there, it's a result of we're just trying to field the punt and fair catch it.
Hey, Sean, here's my dumb question of the week. Why aren't there more blocked punts in the NFL anymore? It seemed like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, we would get one or two every week, and now they hardly happen ever.
Yeah, we had one, I think. Yeah. We had one.
Why is it too risky?
We did have one that actually resulted in a 68-yard net after he double-punted it against
that's
the
right.
Seahawks.
That's right.
The damnedest thing I've ever seen.
I didn't even know that rule.
You know what? It's I think it's because I think guys are getting smarter. I think these punters are doing an excellent job of being able to speed up their delivery and their process. The snap's getting back in a more efficient manner, and so you know, everything's expedited in terms of just getting the kick off. I think the protection schemes are a little bit more sound. And in some instances, the intent might be to set up a return and you're not really going for the block. So when you do go for a block and sell out, you leave yourself susceptible for some other potential negative things to happen. So I think it's just really a progression of the game. And it is very difficult to execute that phase, but there's a lot of factors that go into it.
So you're loaded at receiver. Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Robert Woods, obviously. Tyler Higbee's been a big cog in the offense. What are you having trouble getting DeSean Jackson more involved? I mean, he had one explosive game, but he was very quiet in this game against the Giants.
Yeah, you know, the game against the Giants was unique because we ended up having a 28-point second quarter, so it's 28-3 at the half. And then we're really more interested in just running the clock out in the second half, where you kind of jump into phases of your offense that are reflective of slowing the game down, trying to run it, and you're really just competing against the clock at that point. So, you know, Cooper was the beneficiary of a lot of touches, but, you know, a lot of guys didn't get a lot of stats because we ended up having that explosive second quarter, and the goal is to win the game, not to pad the stats. And so, you know, DeSean against Seattle, he made a 68-yard play that I thought shifted the whole momentum of the game. He had one catch last week, but I think it's a week-by-week thing. You know, we want to try to get guys involved, but we're most interested in winning the football games. And so sometimes those things are in alignment, sometimes they're not. But I think the circumstances of the game is really what dictated that as a result of being up 28-3 at the half.
All right. Hey, listen, awesome, Coach. We'll be there in my season seats on Sunday. Whose house? Rams house. Looking forward to a great, great Sunday. Thanks for coming on, as always, man. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There's Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams. Yeah, you can't, you know, this, you can't be the team. Detroit's going to win a game. They're not going 0-17.
Sure.
You don't want to be the, like...
Yeah, these next two games, by the way. You know, first of all, we beat the Giants. They were a one-win team. Lions are an 0-for team. And the team after that, they go to Houston. They're a 1-for team. So you're talking about situations where you really have got to win, but also it's hard to... It would be easy for one of these to be a trap game like the Jets game was last year.
I think the Cowboys look really good in the NFC.
Yep.
I think the Rams look really good in the NFC. I don't know. Tampa, I know the Rams beat them, but they, you know.
They look good.
I think the Rams should try as hard as they possibly can to secure home field. And, you know, the Cardinals have a cupcake game again this week, so they're probably going to 7-0. And the Cardinals have a tiebreaker over the Rams because they beat them. So I don't know if the Rams can get home field. They may go in it as a wild card, but they got to keep winning just to keep up with Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I want another shot at Arizona. I want another shot at them.
Well, you're going to get it. I think it's a night game, too. I think it's Sunday night or a Monday night.
Yeah, I think it's a big Showtime game, yeah.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so shift back to the Dodgers here for a minute. On the mound for the Braves is Huascar Noah, 4-6, 4.05 ERA through 91 innings, 100 strikeouts in 91 innings. So he's got a good strikeout ratio, a good good whip. I mean, he's going to be a solid guy, and I would imagine Brian Snitker is going to try to get multiple innings out of him tonight. I don't know. I guess he's going to be the bulk pitcher out of the box, and they'll try to get 3-4 innings out of him before they go to their bullpen game. So he's going to be a semi-starter for the Braves tonight.
Hey, so I had some sound from Brian Snitker last night. And
oh, yeah.
I just wanted to know what you guys think of it. If you heard the same thing that I heard. Okay, so I'm just going to – it's 19 seconds, so it shouldn't take very long.
Okay. I don't even remember how I felt last year. I mean, so I can't remember what I had for breakfast, let alone. No, I mean, we feel good. We're confident. We're, you know, I think our guys, like I said earlier in the day, our guys are every year getting more and more battle tested.
Feel good.
We feel good.
By the way, Snitker's
really, really high.
Snitker's right. You know, they say, well, is this going to fall back into them blowing a lead last year? I can't tell you what happened last year. I mean, I can.
We came back from 3-1.
Yeah, but do you remember, like, the circumstances or, like, who pitched Game 6 or Game 7?
In Game 7, Cody Bellinger hit a big home run last year?
I have no recollection of that series other than the Dodgers came back and won it.
But he says he doesn't remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't remember the Cody Bellinger home run.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
Anytime somebody raises their voice, they don't feel good.
No, he's not feeling good.
Well, how could you? You're lying. You're lying if you
think. If momentum is
really... Yeah, I'm really upset about everything's going on.
I don't even remember the Cody Bellinger home run.
Playoffs? if momentum is a thing. Some people believe in it. Some people say it's just made up. Can you imagine how disheartening it was? The Braves had it.
Yep.
They had it. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, they broke their hearts. They broke their hearts. In the same way, by the way, and this is credit the Dodgers, they got their hearts broken twice in games 1 and 2 in Atlanta, walk-offs in both of those games. That is a really tough way to lose and a really great way to win. Now the Dodgers have done it, and the momentum, I think, the fact that the bats broke out a little bit late in that game is a good sign for tonight. Maybe Trey Turner figures it out. Maybe Justin Turner figures it out. AJ Pollock last night came up big in a big moment. These guys have struggled and scuffled throughout the postseason. Maybe now's the time they start actually hitting the baseball. By the way, yesterday at the end of the show, we can't find it, but somebody, I think you'd ask me, John, how many runs is it going to take to win the game? And I did
you
say
said
six.
Six. Yep. Yeah. I remember you saying six.
Yep. I had a feeling that there were going to be some runs scored in that game last
night. Well, they needed all six of them.
And Walker Buehler, I don't know, man. I don't know. Walker Buehler did,
and they
not
couldn't.
Look good
by the way,
all.
They had to take him out when they did, don't you?
Oh,
think?
Oh yeah,
I mean when you walked in a run and you know.
He was throwing at times. I felt like he was grooving everything. He was grooving that fastball, and he was up in the zone. He was center cut. He was. It wasn't as extreme as this, but it was like he was throwing batting practice at one point. They were hitting the ball so hard off of him.
Abraham Hosea just tweeted. That playoff drop was perfect, George. That wasn't George. That was me. We didn't play a drop.
That was Julio.
Do it again.
Playoffs?
Yeah. Totally bought that.
Wasn't you, Julio? Come on.
No. Julio trying to win the very first BSB for best producer.
Yeah, vote for Jorge.
Vote for Jorge.
I am. That whole campaign is.
It's a great campaign.
It's a winner.
I'm glad you're getting started early. All right, coming up for you, let's do a little Lakers coming up. We're plenty of Dodgers, but let's do a little Lakers coming up. Westbrook struggled last night. We'll get into that a little bit. I felt like, to me, he was kind of the odd man out. LeBron went big. AD went big. Westbrook really scuffled. And we'll take a couple calls. Are you worried at all about what you saw last night with the Lakers? Lakers opening loss to Golden State. 877-710-ESPN. We'll pivot here to Lakers. 877-710-ESPN. Plenty of Dodgers coming up too. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.